By 1474, everything was in place. Edward had signed on to the plan. The Duke began by marching on the Upper Rhine, but just as he began his maneuvers, he learned that a large Swiss army had invaded his home territory of Burgundy. This army was funded by Louis XI himself. By this action, Louis and the Swiss were clearly sending a warning to the Duke that they would not look kindly on any future invasion of the Cantons. But Charles had enough forces in Burgundy to drive the Swiss out. He was not a man to provoke in such a way. Both parties would more than pay for their rash invasion. In the summer of 1475, the English army, the largest yet assembled for an invasion of France, landed at Calais under the personal leadership of Edward IV. Charles went to meet Edward to finalize their plans and toast their imminent conquests. He then quickly returned to his own troops, which were marching south through Lorraine in preparation for the great link-up with the English forces at Reims. Suddenly, some disturbing news reached Charles in the field. His spies at the French court reported that Louis had opened up secret negotiations with Edward. Apparently, Louis had persuaded the English king that Charles was using him and could not be trusted. Knowing that England's finances were weak, Louis had offered generous terms of peace amounting to a large annual pension paid directly to the king and his court. He had entertained the English with great feasts of food and ale, and then, to the Duke's utter disgust and amazement, Edward fell for it, signed the treaty, and took his forces home. The Duke had barely had time to get over this bitter news when Louis suddenly sent him envoys to broker a long-term truce between France and Burgundy. This was typical of the king. Everything he did was inconsistent and contradictory. What was he thinking? Signing the truce would mean the Duke could now confidently march against the Swiss, knowing that France would not interfere. Perhaps the king was guided by his great fear of war. Charles happily approved the truce. The Swiss were outraged. Louis had been their friend, and now, at the moment of imminent peril, he had abandoned them. But the Swiss were used to fighting on their own. They would simply have to mobilize every man available. In the dead of the winter of 1477, the Duke, impatient for victory, crossed the Jura Mountains heading east. The Swiss were waiting for him near the town of Granson. This was the first time the Duke had done battle with the Swiss, and he was caught off guard by what confronted him. It began with the alarming bellow of Swiss battle horns, which echoed in the mountains, creating a frightening din. Next, thousands of Swiss soldiers advanced down the slope toward the Burgundians. They marched with perfect precision, packed tight in phalanxes from which their enormous pikes stuck out like the spines of a giant hedgehog in motion. Their flanks and rear were protected by halberdiers swinging spiked battle axes. It was a terrifying sight. The Duke ordered attack after attack with his cavalry to break up the phalanxes, only to watch them being slaughtered. His artillery was hard to maneuver in the mountainous terrain. The Swiss fought with incredible fierceness, and their phalanxes were impenetrable. A reserve Swiss force, hidden in the woods on the Burgundian right, suddenly emerged and attacked. The Duke's army fell into a headlong retreat. The battle ended in a slaughter, from which the Duke, however, escaped. A few months later, it was the turn of the Swiss to go on the offensive by marching into Lorraine. In January 1478, the Duke counterattacked with his now enfeebled forces. Again, the Burgundians were routed, and this time, the Duke did not escape. His body was finally identified on the field of battle, his head cloven in two by a Swiss halberd, his body pierced by pikes. In the months after Charles' death, Louis XI swallowed up Burgundy, eliminating the last great feudal threat to a unified France. The Duke had unknowingly fallen prey to Louis's elaborate plan to destroy him without wasting a single French soldier.